blessed. If you have your Bibles today, Psalms chapter 17, title of the message is The Awakening. Psalms 17, one verse, chapter 15. Okay, we'll get this right in a minute. Psalms chapter 17, we'll read one verse, and that's 15. You notice how the psalmist starts out, and he says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. As for me." I was sitting there thinking about that a little bit as I was just looking at that scripture. I used to, growing up, as our visitors might not know, my dad founded this church, so I was a preacher's kid, and he passed away at 44 years old, but I used to play the card, well, the neighbors do this, and, well, they do that. And he would respond and say, "Not us." And that's kind of what David is saying here, "As for me." And I think a lot of us need to understand that this walk is it's a personal walk. When I get to heaven, God's not going to judge me on you, and you're not going to be judged on my actions or me on your actions. It's a personal thing. And so David, contrasting his own response to God's action, rather than being determined by this world, and so many people want to blame others for their shortcomings in God, and that's not going to work. "Well, I quit church because of, I got hurt." I said it a couple weeks ago. "I got hurt because of," and that's not going to cut it with God. I mean, I don't care who makes you mad. I know a lot of people bounce from church to church and church to church, and that's between them and God. But what I'm saying is, I don't care who makes you mad in the assembly. I'm not coming to church for you. I'm coming to church for me and my relationship with Him. So David is not letting the world determine his relationship with God. See, he's determined by God. And I know we live in the world. And I know we got to function in the world. But we do not have to let this world determine who we are. David longs to, what he longs for is he longs to see God's face and to be in His likeness, to be righteous as God is righteous. The Bible talks about in the New Testament, if have the mind of Christ. And so we need to walk as best we can. What David really longs for is the Messiah who will come to change the course of the human race. I like what Paul wrote in 3:18 of 2 Corinthians, "But we all with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." There has always been something in, I guess you want to use the term legalism, which causes a lot of people to miss the very heart of the things that is associated with God. They become fascinated with the surface and the superficial. After all, before Paul, we look at Paul before he became a Christian. I mean, he was a man who loved the scriptures. He was a man who went to the temple to worship God. He was a man who defended the law and lived a good life by the definition of his religion. But by doing so, he missed the meaning of God that he orchestrated, and we know what he did. He orchestrated the death and imprisonment of many Christians. And we've been studying Acts, and we know what Paul did. Amen. And how he was, went out and brought them back to Jerusalem to stand trial. Many of them was thrown into prison because of him. His heart had been so veiled by legalism that he could not understand, amen, the true meaning of the Spirit. Paul also used the veil of Moses as an illustration in which the religion of the old covenant was mediated through Moses, while the new covenant had more of a, listen, a direct face-to-face contact, amen, with God. And I'm telling you what, people, there's nothing better than face-to-face contact. Amen. You can email somebody, you can text somebody, you can call somebody. Amen. But if it's a long distance relationship of a child, amen, or someone that might be in the service, amen, you can even FaceTime them on the computer. But I'm telling you what, there's nothing like a face-to-face contact. Amen. When they come back or when you meet them face-to-face. And that's what this new covenant allowed us to do. Amen. I'm telling you what, that face-to-face contact, when I get on my knees and begin to pray, I have a face-to-face contact, amen, with the Son of God, as I spoke last week about the new covenant, amen, and what that new covenant allowed me to do. Amen. It allowed me to come into the holies of holies. It allowed me to come into the presence of God. Amen. No longer separated by the law or legalism. Amen. But I'm telling you what, there's nothing better than a face-to-face contact. While the Bible is the final written authority, amen, for every believer, it is the living word. Amen. Jesus Christ, amen, who is the ultimate authority. Amen. Why we need each other's support in this walk. Amen. It is the Spirit of the living God who administers His grace and forgiveness. There's always the danger, amen, if we're not careful, of legalism. Amen. For each of us, we're tempted to leave the Bible, amen, and not God. Amen. To leave the Bible and not realize that the Bible is the very witness of who God is. Amen. Sometimes, amen, we take the law, amen, or the do's and don'ts, amen, and we elevate them to a place to where, well, if you don't look like this and act like that, amen, you're not going to make heaven. Well, I'm telling you why, you're not the judge, and you're not the ultimate judge. And don't get me wrong, I believe we need to live right, look right. I believe we need to act right, think right. Amen. But it isn't somebody putting some type of do's and don'ts on us. Amen. It is the freedom, amen, of the Holy Ghost living in me that allows me to rise above sin, amen, and live a righteous life. Amen. We got to understand that. Amen. But I'm telling you what, you can join the church, you can sit on a pew, but without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, amen, it's going to be for naught. You're missing the point. You can come to church every Sunday, you can carry your Bible every Sunday, oh, but I'm telling you what, if you don't have an intimate relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're missing the point of who God really is today. Many people, they look at, they look the part and all that kind of stuff, but there is something missing on the inside, that they're missing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think that we need to really have that intimate relationship. A lot of people are afraid of that intimate relationship. They don't want to step into it. And I'm talking about, you know, the Bible talks about he's, you know, he's the bridegroom or the bride, and the relationship to him and us, and the relationship to man and husband and wife. And there's got to be an intimacy there. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. And I want to show Jesus that I love Him. Amen. We aren't careful, we'll sometimes conform to what is called a Christian lifestyle and never really have our heart changed. I've seen so many mean people sitting in pews. Mean people. And I don't understand where that comes from. That you're sitting in pews, listening to the worship, listening to the teaching, listening to the preaching, and then have a mean streak from here to there. I told you the story of a guy who got saved. And this is the true story. He belonged to the VFW. They go up there and get drunk and have a good time. He got saved and got in church and they put him on the board. And he goes, you know what? I didn't know what a good fight was until I got on the board of a church. And that is a sad, sad statement. And so we'll conform, but we have never changed our heart. And this always... it's always the danger that one would have all the trappings of religion and not know the love and the joy and the freedom that is in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what, religion, I say it a lot, religion is man-made. But an awakening only comes when you come in contact with the Son of God and you have a personal relationship with the Son of God. There is an awakening in us that something takes place in us, that we awake and our spirit becomes alive. And then for the first time in our life, we are saying, my goodness, amen, I'm alive today. I didn't know what it was. And I've heard of a lot of people sitting in pews that have not come to that realization. It's not about the do's and don'ts. It's not about that or the other. It's about a personal relationship and an intimate relationship. And when you come in contact with Him, there's going to be an awakening that literally set you on fire. We don't want to come to that point. I don't know, maybe we'd rather fight. What was that old commercial, I'd rather fight than switch? And I don't know, was that a cigarette commercial? I can't even remember. We'd rather fight. We'd rather come in with our arms crossed. You know, when you see somebody like that, you know what they're telling you? Back off. You know, we'd rather come in, sit there and do like that. And look like we've been chewing on a steady diet of lemons. And I'm thinking, where's the joy? Where's the joy at? Matt said that guy he works with, all he wanted was what? Peace. And I say it all the time, peace isn't overrated. So many people in churches, their mind's like being in a vice, and that devil's turning that vice, and they just don't know what they're doing. Their head's about ready to explode. Amen. But this awakening only comes by a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 10, listen to what He says. He says, I'm the door. Okay, that means something. If a man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, he talks about what the thief does. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But He says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We understand that the devil is the enemy of our soul. We got to understand that. The Bible says God's not the author of confusion. We got to understand that. And I always thought if it doesn't smell right, look right, it's probably not right. And it's the enemy who tries to pull us away. Do you understand? He will try to steal everything that you have. Your mind. Your marriage. Your children, your finances, everything that God has given you. And then He wants to keep you in a fog and barely able to function in this life. and try to get you to believe a lie. How many has sat down and listened to the things that the enemy brings to you? In our day of anxiety, there's so many people that have anxiety problems today. Now, I've never faced that, but I'm thinking, why do we have so many people that are anxious about things and confused about things? We need to confront every false prophet promising a life of whatever it may be. But in the end, it just brings death. We know that man is a liar. The Bible says that. We know that. And I thought that I believe God will bless you. I do. I believe that God can bless you exceedingly abundantly. I believe that God can bless your finances. I believe that God can bless your house. I believe that God can bless all these things. But I don't think the focus needs to be on the blessings. I think the focus needs to be on where the blessings come from. We get so wrapped up in wanting things, we forget to worship the one who allows us to have these things. But there's abundant life in Jesus. And Jesus said, as I just read, I'm the door. If any man enter, he shall be saved, and he shall go out and find pasture. Those who enter in by him will be saved. They are given wholeness. They join the other sheep in the fold. Amen. They live in liberty. They live in freedom. They're free to go in and out, led by the one to whom they belong to. They've heard the shepherd call their name. Amen. And they are satisfied, for he provides pasture. Amen. I like what David said, and I'm telling you what, we need to get to the place, amen, where this awakening allows us to turn our focus back to the cross. We're so distracted. Amen. You've ever watched a horse race? Amen. What do they put on the side of the horses? They put blinders on the horse. Amen. Why? They don't want the horse looking at the one on the right. They don't want the horse looking to the left. They want the horse looking to the finish line. And we need to put those blinders on, those spiritual blinders. Well, we're not distracted for about this and about that. Amen. And worried about this and worried about that. Amen. And overwhelmed about God's people. People shouldn't live like that. Amen. We ought to live in peace. We ought to live in security. We ought to live in joy. We ought to live in love. Amen. Why? Because my God is still in the business of working out my problems, and he's still on the throne. Well, glory to God. So David writes this 23rd Psalms that I preached a message a couple weeks on the shepherd, and this came back to me. In 23:1, he makes a statement, the Lord is my shepherd. As he made a statement, as I just read in Psalms there, as for me. We know what Joshua said in the end of Joshua. He looked at him and he said, y'all do what you want. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. That's the way my dad looked at us, and he said, I don't care what anybody else does. As for this house, this is what we're going to do. We need God's people to have backbone. Okay? We need God's people to have backbone. I was raised in this all my life. I got married, wasn't even a Christian, and came to church on Sunday. And sat there and endured that preaching and not being saved, thinking, why am I here? Why am I here? Because it was instilled in me. I knew growing up, hey, we're going to Kings Island on Sunday. My friend down the street, would you like to go? When you going? We're going on Sunday. Yeah, I'm not even asking. Because I know what the answer is going to be. And you do that. And when you grow up like that, the Bible says if you train a child up in that way, he won't depart from that. Parents today, I don't want to do that. Oh, yeah, you go ahead and go. You need friends. You don't need to be ostracized. You need blah, blah, blah. And then we wonder why when we get our kids into the 20s, they're into drugs and alcohol and been married by the time they're 30. They've been married 4 or 5 times. If you got somebody to train them up right, most of the time, they'll live that way. I can show you people that have been raised in church that are adults and that are still in church, and I think they're the majority than the minority. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he goes, I shall not want. Listen to what David said. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We should now show here the personal my. The God of the Bible is God, the Israel's God. Amen. Faith in Him, however, is not merely, amen, tribal or corporate. Amen. It is a personal relationship. God is known in His individual relationships. In 3:6 of Exodus, He says this, moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. When David was anointed king, God spoke to him, and it says, arise, anoint him. In 1 Samuel 16, he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal and beauty countenance and real godly to look on. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Samuel took the horn of the anointing, then anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. When the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward, amen, we are witness to the intimacy of David's relationship with the Lord. That's why David said, he is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. Shepherd. Amen. Refers to acknowledging God as his king, his savior, the one who meets all of his needs. The shepherd was everything to the sheep. I shall not want. If we could get that down. He's my shepherd. Meaning that whatever I need, I'm going to find it in him. David confessing the Lord is his shepherd. I shall not want. Every need will be met by the guiding, providing hand of God. How will this happen? First, he makes the sheep. What does he make them do? He makes them lie down in green pasture. I'm telling you what, in our frantic life, God desires for you to rest. He really does. The Bible talks about he'll give you perfect rest. He wants to get you in a place of rest. That's why he's the green pastures, the best. The Hebrew word you hear means fresh shoots, fresh grass. God's not intend for you to rest in a hospital bed. He doesn't intend for you to, rest, amen, in desert places. He doesn't want you to have troubled minds. He doesn't want you to walk around in a spiritual fog, not knowing what to do or where to go. But he gives you good meadows where they can graze and enjoy life and be alive in Christ. I believe that God's people need to enjoy life and embrace life. I know so many people that are Christians are so fearful. They won't even go out of their house. They won't even dare step out. It's like covering themselves up or hiding in the closet or hiding under the bed. And that's not what God desires for you and I. He desires for you to enjoy the life that you have. What did David say? This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. He doesn't want you to be down. And I know we've got problems and situations. And I say it all the time. Amen. Nobody in here has problems. We have projects. You know what a project is? And I said all the time, a project is a design undertaking with a designed end. God and I is working on some projects. Today we're so goal-oriented. And we feel that when we rest, it's almost, we feel guilty, I guess is the word, when we sit down and do nothing. And I tell my wife all the time, I'm not afraid of work. I can lay right down next to it and take a nap. I'm not afraid of it. You got to come to my house and watch her. She's like a bumblebee. She makes me tired just watching her. Won't you sit down? Well, this has to be done, and this has to be done, and if I don't do this. And then she sits down at 8 o'clock at night, and we'll turn the TV over, and I look over. She's sound asleep. And I tell her she's always mismanaging her time, and she's telling me that, no, it's not. I got this. We got this thing they got us for Christmas. The kids did. It's Alexa. And Jake bought me these special light bulbs, and we've programmed them, and I can say, Alexa, turn on the family room lights, and they come on. Or I can say, turn on the recliner light where I sit, and it comes on. And my daughter back there, Bethany, God love her, love it or death, but man, she is. She looked at me, and she goes, you'll never get out of that chair now. You'll move less than you've ever moved. But I think what it is God allowed somebody to create Alexa so, Matt, I could rest. And I wouldn't have to reach up and turn the light on. That's the way I look at it. But he wants us to rest. When we don't rest, I mean, your mind just goes... And I've got to the point in my life, and I know I'm younger than a lot of you in here. I'll be 60 in April. But if I don't get my rest, watch out, Jack. I can be a little bit on the grumpy side. So a lot of us feel guilty when we're not doing something. And it runs in Kim's family. Her brother, he's as worse than her. We go right by his house. He was cutting grass in the first part of December. I'm thinking, what's the guy cutting grass for? In her jeans, they just can't sit down, and they're always busy. And granted, she gets a lot done. And I appreciate what she does, and I help her when I can, and the kids help her. But she's just busy. But we need to learn how to rest. And I will say, when she goes to bed, there could be a bomb outside, and she's not waking up. Unless the house is on fire, the car's on fire. And at 3 o'clock in the morning in the summer, one time she was out on the trampoline bouncing up and down because she could see over our privacy fence why this car was burning. And I wake up and she's nowhere to be found. I didn't know the rapture took place because I was still there. I get out of bed, can't find her in the house, and there she is out on the trampoline bouncing up and down. I said, what are you doing? She goes, that car's on fire. I said, well, what are you worried about? Well, she said, I don't want to get our privacy fence. I said, if it hits your privacy fence, there ain't a thing you can do about it. She's always busy. Brian Roberts tells me, when they're out of town, he said his mind is always busy, always running. There's people like that. But I think we need to learn how to rest. We need to learn how to turn things off, shut things down, and just take that rest for us. That's why the Sabbath was created, amen, for us. We need to delight in the personal time of just resting. And then we need the delight in the personal time of being in God's presence. When God rests us, there should be no guilt. Only the divine hand. The second thing he does, he directs his sheep. He leads them where? Beside the still waters. The verb for lead means to, amen, to a lead to a watering place. The pools of water allow the sheep to drink freely, and it's not a rushing river. Amen. It's the cool things. It's the smooth water where they can get down close and take a drink. And then he says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul. The verb for restore includes to, amen, to awake, to refresh. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life when I need a refreshing from God. I need God, Matt, to refresh me, to awake me, amen, to reignite me. And there's times when my head begins to hang low. and my steps get a little slow. Amen. And God reminds me of who I am. Oh, we need to be reminded of who we are today. Oh, I am the chosen one. I am the redeemed one. I am the one that He came to earth for. Amen. Lift your head up. That's where our redemption comes from. Amen. I want Him to reignite me. I want Him to set me on fire. As the Lord shepherds us, it's not merely our body which He cares for, but He's going to restore my soul. How many is thankful that God can ignite us? How many is thankful that He can, amen, set us on fire again? I pray, God, ignite me in the power of the Holy Ghost today. He restores my soul. We need to be thankful that I say it all the time, I'm thankful I'm not God. Because sometimes I have little patience with people that seem to struggle, seem to just think can't get it. They're in and out. They're up and down. But you know what, God, Matt, when it comes to God, He's always, always trying to pull that person back. He's never going to cast you on the garbage heap. He's never going to say, I'm done. I'm done. You know, I thought about David in Acts. It calls him a man after God's own heart. And I've thought about this and thought about this and thought about this. And when we read about King David's life, he made one big, big, huge mistake. He committed adultery, and David basically premeditated murder. I think it was Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. He brought him back from the battlefield, hoping he would lie with Bathsheba, and he slept on the doorstep because of his men was fighting. So David sent him to the front lines, thinking that he would be killed, which he was, and this would be swept under the rug. You can't sweep things under the rug when it comes to God. And the prophet came and told David what he did. David, being king, could have said, get out, I'll do what I want. But you know what David did? He repented. I'm thankful that God, when you come to Him and you repent, He will ignite you. He will restore you. The Bible talks about in the New Testament, it's even greater under grace, that we have an advocate with the Father. Don't sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. I believe we need to live above sin, but every one of us in here is going to make our mistakes, say things we don't, do things we don't, and blah, 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 all down the road because we're human and we know how we are. But I have an advocate with the Father. That means I can run back to the throne of grace. David went back and repented. Did it cost him? Oh yeah, it cost him. Go read after Absalom was born. Go see what happened. Absalom took his kingdom and all this stuff, and you see all the problems that David had because of that one sin. But he repented. I'm telling you what, don't think you're too big that you can't make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, you better be smart enough to hit your knees and look into the heavens and say, God, I repent of my sin. People might not forget. I know they might not forget, but I don't worry about people. You worry about your relationship with God. And so David could repent. He repented. And that's why the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. And so we need to understand that God's wanting to restore your soul. He wants to awaken you. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read for a little bit in 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. First thing you need to realize that you're not going to make this without God. And then Paul begins to write about our human situation. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed but not despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. He said, always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto the death of Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us, where? Raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Okay? This is why I just read, then he says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man may perish, the inward man renewed day by day. Paul was encouraging people. And he also was encouraged because life had not knocked him out. Go read Paul's life. My goodness, we're reading some of it in Acts. You know, the Bible says, a lot of commentators believe they actually stoned him to death. And the Lord brought Paul back to life. Because you go ahead and read the other parts later on, he said he bore the marks on his body of the stoning. Maybe the scars. A lot of us would say, I'm done. But I'm going to tell you what, because Paul was encouraged because life had not thrown or knocked him out or thrown more than he could handle. A lot of people say, I can't handle this God, but the Bible tells you he wouldn't place more on you. So we read it there in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to go back to 7 through 10. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I said one time that if you went to hide some precious jewels, where would you hide them? If a thief broke in, the last place a thief would look for these precious jewels was in a broken, cracked up vessel. He would look in the safe. He would look in your closet. He would look under your bed. But in this little vessel that was cracked and tattered and torn, sitting on your shelf, he wouldn't dare look in there. But that's what God did. He put his power in us, which we are cracked and tattered vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be in us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body and the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. When we read that, what we're likely to catch, it's human nature. We read these scriptures, we're likely to catch only the bad words that Paul wrote in here, the bad things. We notice the words hard-pressed. We notice the words perplexed, persecuted, struck down, and always carrying about it in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul had written everything, I believe, if he had told us everything that had happened to him, amen, when he was preaching, we would have felt that he would have been justified in being bitter and leaving the ministry. And I see a lot of people that are bitter with God because of things that's happened. And I want to tell those people that you're not the only one that's facing the things that you're facing. The Bible calls us, we go through manifold temptations, meaning we all go through things. They might be different, but we all go through things, some big, some small. But Paul would have been bitter. He could have left the ministry. Man, we could have had a nervous breakdown because of all the things. He talks about the care of the church. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. And stripes was laid on him. But what we need to do when we read these scriptures, we need to go back and pick up the other end of the sentence when he said this about himself. He said, I'm not crushed. I'm not in despair. I'm not forsaken. I'm not destroyed because of the life of Jesus Christ. When we look at the things that I know we have troubles and I know we are in despair and all that, but I want to point at hell and I want to point at the devil and I want to say I'm still here today. I'm still serving God today. Even though there's been things in my life that could have knocked me out, man, I'm still serving God today. Amen. I'm not cast down people. I'm not forsaken people. I'm not in despair people. Amen. Why? Because there's been an awakening in me by the power of God. Amen. There's been something that has ignited me. And I realize that whatever I face tomorrow, He's already there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we read carefully here what He's written, we hear a note of celebration that life had not knocked him out. Come on, people. There was an awakening. I'm telling you what, we need to have, and I preached a message a while back, and I'm going to read these scriptures called the Damascus Road Experience. I say all the time, Pentecost isn't really a doctrine. Pentecost is an experience because we move the step to the Holy Ghost, and people that are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I think people get hung up on tongues, and tongues is part of it, but tongues is just a small part of it. There's so much more to the power of the Holy Ghost. And when these men came out of the upper room, they thought they were drunk. They thought there was something wrong with them. They heard him speak, and I believe coming out of the Holy Ghost, it was, and I just have a, it's just, we don't have to split hairs on this, but I believe that was the tongues of communication. I believe there's different kind of tongues. There's tongues of communication. There's your spiritual language. There's tongues just in prophecy and interpretation and all that. And I believe this was the tongues of communication because there was proselyte Jews everywhere, and they heard these guys speak in their own language. What was the purpose of that? To get the message of Jesus Christ out. That was the whole purpose of the tongues right there. Now, the tongues is a greater thing. I've heard prophecies giving in tongues and interpretation. Your prayer language, your tongues, is you're speaking mysteries from your spirit to God that you don't know anything about, but God does. But Paul wasn't there in the upper room. He had committed great crimes against the church. He was after them, as I said earlier, by the law. But you read history, Christianity was the fastest growing movement at that time. It's about 70 years after the death of Christ, it was just huge. And it all started a week or so after the death of Jesus Christ when the tongues came in the upper room, fell on them, and Luke tried to describe it like cloven tongues of fire. God was igniting something. He was setting something on fire. There needed to be a spark. And it was the Holy Ghost. Them guys came out of the upper room and began to preach. They began to preach to those around them. Go on down in Acts, and it says that 3,000 souls was added to the church. Something took place. And they said when they stoned Stephen, there was a young man, there was a man standing there, and this man, Saul, was standing there, and he was part of the stoning of Stephen. And in Acts chapter 9, something happened to him. The Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to synagogues, that if he found any in of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And I want to tell you what, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he says, who art thou, Lord? He said, and the Lord says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord told him to rise and go to the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. What an awakening happened on the road to Damascus. Okay? And I say it all the time. We got enough preachers. We've got enough worship leaders. I think our worship here is awesome. That's just my opinion. And the preaching, I'll let you judge. But we've got enough preachers around here. We've got enough worship leaders. What we need is people in the altars seeking God. What we need is people having an experience with God that literally changed them. That way they would go. And I'm telling you what, if Daniel could go into the lion's den, the three Hebrew boys could jump into a fiery furnace. We have the power of grace with us and the power of the Holy Ghost. We read about Max in China being in jail because of printing the Bibles. We read about Christians, Matt talked about it, in the Middle East having their heads cut off because of their faith. What causes people to do that? It was a Damascus Road experience. It was an awakening that took place in their life. Hey man, that something happened. And when they got up, hey man, there was a zeal and a desire, hey man, to serve Jesus Christ above everything else. And I hope in my life, I don't care what comes, I don't care what goes. Hey man, Sister Claire, I want my focus on the cross. I want my focus on Him who sits on the right hand of the Father. I want my focus on what I, not what I was, amen, but who I am. And I don't know about you, but I've been set free by the power of grace. I've been liberated from sin by the power of grace. I'm walking in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I want hell to know it. I want people around me to know it. Amen, that I walk to the beat of a different drummer. And that drummer is Jesus Christ today. We need to have the power of the Holy Ghost. It awakens us. We need to realize God's people, we are a lot tougher than we think. Come on, come on. I think you need to sit down and say, you know what, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I can get through this stuff. I can face this stuff. I don't care what the enemy throws at me. Because of the strength that I have in Jesus, I'm going to stand. You know, a lot of times it's, what's the first thing out of your mouth? Is it, oh no, here we go again. Man, I've said that too many times. What comes out of our mouth should be, I'm a child of the King. And devil, I'm not budging. I'm not backing down. I'm not giving in, and I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm telling you what, we need to have that, what is it? That tenacity. That backbone. That we don't have to get in people's face. Let this do the talking. That's all you need to do. We need to let this do the talking. And when we do, we'll make it. I've seen Christians deal with calamity, sorrow, tragedy, illness, anxiety, depression, and death. And I've stood with them. And you know what? I've seen them bounce back with renewed faith and confidence in who God was. Paul was encouraged by God's ability to renew his spirit. He says that in 4:16, and I'm telling you what, this is what we need to grab a hold. For which cause, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. Matt, I don't faint because of who he is. You know the old saying is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. My eggs are in one basket, and Jesus is carrying the basket. This is the reason I faint not. This is the reason that I'm renewed. I faint not. You can go home and I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but above 4:16. I'm not cast down. I'm not forsaken. Okay? But though your inner man may perish, we're all getting older. But the inner man is renewed day by day. I've seen people, Sister Linda Gibson's, wrote that song, Let Me Die. When I die, let me die speaking in tongues. Oh, what a way to go out of this world. What a way to go out of the world, that your last breath would give glory to Jesus Christ. I hope when I'm on my deathbed, I'm coherent enough that I'm able to lift my hands to heaven and say, Jesus, I'm coming home. We need to have that in our minds, the awakening that we have. One of my favorite scriptures, and I'm hurrying here, in Galatians says, 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, that's God's timetable, we shall reap if we faint not. How many of us is like that? And then I told you to place this on your refrigerator. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How many of us wants to see the power of God? I'm going to close this message. How many of us wants to have an awakening? How many of us wants to, amen, get to the point to where life, you know, I said it a couple weeks ago, I want to be like a palm tree. How many wants to be like a palm tree? They bend. That old toy that's out there says, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Man, I might wobble sometimes. My knees might even almost buckle sometimes. But I don't want to be laying on my back, crying and screaming, God help me. I want to get to, before I get to that point, I want to be on my knees saying, God help me. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I just want to know that, God, you're going to help me get through tomorrow. Because I want you to, if you would, I want you to sing Waymaker. I don't know if you had that planned or not, but I just feel that. We need to understand that whatever life is going to throw at me, there's a way out. I know you've got, Chris is in a mess. But Sandy, there's a way out. Okay? There's a way out. Don't you ever get to the point to where you believe that you're boxed in and there's no way. There's been an awakening in me that I know there's a way out. There's been awakening in me that I know that I serve a God that's going to save your husband. There's a way out. I don't care what the sickness is. I don't care what you got to face. You might go through the fire, but I preached that message 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. There's another in the fire with you. There's a way out. Do you believe that? Is that burning in your soul? Go ahead, hell. Do your best, but I'm standing here letting you know there is a way out. It's been an awakening in me. I hope there's an awakening in you today. I hope there's something stirring in you today. There's a story about a man a few years back when the earthquake in San Francisco hit. Devastated it. He walked out and he was standing there in the debris and there was a smile on his face and a friend looked at him and says, what are you smiling at? He goes, I serve a God that can shake the world. I serve a God that can shake the world. I sure serve a God that can turn it around. How wonderful He is. How wonderful He is. How mighty He is. You know, Paul says in Acts, he said in Acts 21:13, he says, I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem. Paul knew that he was going to Jerusalem. They was going to kill him. How many of us have been headed to another area? You know, this man, Peter, you know what he said? If you're going to crucify me upside down. These men saw great things. What's the difference? He's the same today, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I serve a God that can. I serve a God that can ignite you. I serve a God that can awake you. How many wants to be ignited by the power of God today? Sing it. Sing this. That's it. You are here.